Good morning, everyone. Thanks for joining us. Chodesh Tov. And I hope everyone enjoyed a good Bein Hazmanim for those of us who are joining us the first time since then. So the topic we're going to talk about in the next 2 weeks is essentially just studying the question of, is it true that if you break it, you bought it? Right? So typical happens, you know, happens to all of us. You're in the supermarket. You're picking out some sort of grocery item or something like that. All of a sudden, you accidentally slip. It spills all over the floor. Are you legally or halachically obligated to or liable to pay for that? So I'm actually curious, since I know that we have some lawyers in the crowd. I'm curious to know what your perspective is legally from a secular law perspective. When would a person be liable for that? Any thoughts? Jeffrey.
With Azer, affirmative discussed it. Yeah. And I didn't really have a legal perspective, but I told Azer, I just remember from the time I'm a child onwards, you go to the China store and ask the sign, you touch it, you break it, you bought it. But what we did discuss, though, and what Azer said we're going to be discussing this morning is, what are you? You could be a lokeach, you could be some type of shomer, or maybe you're nothing at all, but it's the normal case of Mazi. And you're crying for damages.
Yeah, well, Ezra did a great job ruining the suspense over here. So thanks for that. Thanks for that, Ezra. But no, don't worry. Hopefully. But so it's interesting. I'm also curious to hear what people think. Should you be liable? Should you not? I think naturally we sort of assume, like, hey, it's your fault. You know, you should have been more careful. You're the reason it broke, so you have to pay. It's really not so simple. I just did a quick Google search, and the one website I saw said that it's not simple that you'll be liable. It's not even simple that if the store owner puts up a sign which says, if you break it, you bought it, that you'd be liable, which gets into sort of issues of unilateral, can they unilaterally impose that contract upon you is not simple at all. And so it's actually a very relevant and worthwhile topic to explore. So do people have the source sheet before I go further? Should I share it?
Oh, just one other quick point.
You could just upload it into the chat.
I could do that. How do I do that?
You know, I'll upload it. You give share.
Okay, thank you. Sorry about that. So, yes, Jeffrey.
Yeah, so this is all in the context of you go into some commercial setting, but what about like a non-commercial setting? You invite me over for Shabbos lunch and I break your wine goblet.
Interesting. So I think in discussing this, it will relate to that. In a sense, this whole discussion will assume that let's take a step back. It would depend upon how it broke, right? Were you negligent in breaking it or not? If you were negligent, so that might depend on, you know, something we actually discussed, I think the last time I gave share, which was, does the fact that he allowed you to enter his house relieve you of some sort of liability? But I would wager that if you were truly negligent, then you might have to pay.
I was thinking more of the category. Like, obviously, I'm not a lokeach in your house.
Great, exactly. You're certainly not a lokeach. You're certainly not a shoel. You're not a shomer either. So it's just a question of, should we hold you?
Just basic negligence.
Right. Yeah. So it's a question of Adam Hamazik, which is an interesting point to consider here. It's really a side topic, and we haven't really even begun seeing the sources yet. But it does seem to me, despite Ezra's sort of foreshadowing, it seems to me that Adam HaMazik doesn't seem to be relevant in these cases. In fact, Tosfos brings this as a proof, this whole discussion, that as a proof that there are limitations to what you can hold someone for. And in certain circumstances, even a person who just damages someone's property is going to be exempt. But yeah, so let's get to some of the sources here. So our discussion begins an hour or so ago in source number one. So source number one, it's the context. What is this doing in Sochar Sa'umnin? Sochar Sa'umnin is generally, the first half is about employment law, and then specifically deals with shomrim and guardians, people watching objects. So the context here actually has to do with a shoel. And that's important. Let's keep in mind the context. We're going to see three different Gemaros that all address this question of what is the nature of a prospective buyer and what is their liability. The context of each is different and the context of each is significant. So in our Gemara, we were talking about a Shoel. And a Shoel is someone who we just mentioned has maximum liability. If you borrow someone's object, you're almost liable for anything. But the Gemara says that after the borrowing period is over, you are no longer a Shoel. So if I borrow something for 30 days or so, once day 30 passes and I'm not withholding it from you, I'm willing to return it to you, at that point already, I am no longer liable as a Shoel would be. So the Gemara wants to know, you're no longer a Shoel, but what are you? And that's what we have here in source number one. Yibayel, who the Gemara asks, and I just put in parentheses, Shoel im chifetz la'achrei me'shelata, right? You have a borrower who has the object, but it's after the borrowing period. Pator mi'shoel v'chayek ha'shomer sachar, odim ha'shomer sachar na'ami lo'havi. Is he, when we say that he's exempt after the borrowing period is over from his Shoel status, does that mean he is like a Shomer Sachar, a paid watchman? The rule for a paid watchman is that although they are exempt from Ones, exempt from sort of extreme circumstances which are not their fault, but they are Chayav and Gneva Vaveda. They are liable for if the object is lost or stolen. So do we say the Shoel is a Shomer Sachar? Odilma Shomer Sachar Nami Lohavi. Maybe he's not even a Shomer Sachar. The Mepharshim do assume he at least be a Shomer Chinam. He'd be a freed watchman. You're not off the hook. You can't just, sort of let the, say, okay, I borrowed your object, now I'm going to leave it in the middle of the street. Right? That wouldn't be fair. But the question is, are you even a Shomer Sachar? So now we have a Memar's logic. Again, this doesn't seem necessarily relevant to our topic, but the logic will be. So keep it in mind. So Amar Memar, Memar says, Mistavra, Patur Mishoa v'chayek Shomer Sachar, Hoel v'nehne mehane hava. So it makes sense to say that the Shoel is, although he is no longer a Shoel since the borrowing period is over, however, he is still considered a Shomer Sachar. He is liable for Geneva V'Aveda. Since he benefited from the use of the object, he reciprocates that benefit, which was totally benevolent, and agrees to at least accept the liability of a Shomer Sachar and enhance his watching of the object. So that's the Gemara's conclusion, that a Shoel Acher Meshalaso, or Yachem Meshalatal, after the object borrowing period has finished, is still a Shomer Sachar. And now the Gemara brings the case, which is relevant for us, to support this ruling. So if you look at the second little dash I have there, in source number one, Tane Kevasa De'amemer, Halokea Kelim Vesa Uman, someone who buys vessels from the house of a craftsman, the Shagram Levet Chamiv, to send them to his father-in-law's house. As the Farshim explained, it's talking about Sivlonos, which means as a wedding gift that they used to give between the period of Kiddushin, usually between the period of Kiddushin and Erisin, there were gifts that they would send, the husband would send to the wife. So a person goes to the store, he buys a vessel, and he intends to send it to his wife's family as a gift. V'amrlo, and he tells the owner of the store, "In mekabim osan mimeni, ani nosen lachad mehen. If they accept them from me, if my in-laws accept the gift, so then I'll pay you in full. I'll pay you full price. But what if they don't? What if they say, it's the thought that counts. But we already have one of those dishes already, so you can bring that back. So then he says, v'amav ani nosen lachad lefi tovas hanaa shebahen." Otherwise, I will give you enough money which corresponds to the amount of benefit I get from them. And on a simple level, we'll say for now, he benefits from showing that he cares, that he loves his new family, he's excited, and he sent them a present. So that benefit of the tovasana, the goodwill he builds with his new family, is worth something. It's worth some sort of dollar amount, and that's what I'll pay you, but I won't pay you for the full value of the object. So now the question is, while this person is carrying the object to his in-law's house, what's his status on the way? As a prospective buyer, he may buy it, he may not. And what is the status of this person if, indeed, they say, thanks but no thanks? So the Gemara says as follows. V'nen subhalicha. So now what happens is there's an ones. There's an ones on the journey there. On the journey there, chayav. On the way there, even if it's an ones, you are liable for anything that happens to the object. And this is what raises our question, right? We have a prospective buyer, and we are saying that that person is liable for onsen, at least so long as they intend to purchase the object. But what if they? What about the way back? Bachazira Potter on the returning while he's returning from his in-laws and he does not want to buy the object, then he's exempt. Neshu kinose sachar, because he is like a nose sachar, seemingly translated as because he is a shomer sachar. Now, just taking a step back for that, that's a bit of a confusing statement. So we said on the way there chayev beonsin, on the way back Potter from onsin because he's a shomer sachar. What do the words because he's a Shomer Sachar modify? What does that explain? So on a simple level,
How could it modify the first part? I mean, aren't you Chayev then? Shomer Sachar not Chayev then?
Right. So this is the question. So this is a bit of a this statement, as we'll see, throws a bit of a curveball into this case. Mneshu kinosa sachar at seemingly should modify both. It follows the whole statement on the one hand. On the other hand, as Ezra points out, a shomer sachar is not chayev for onsen. So it would be a pretty horrible explanation for the first half of it. That wouldn't make much sense at all. Some Mefarshim, as Marsha, point out that if the point was that it's modifying why you're putter on the way back, then maybe it should have said Mivneshu eno ella kenose sachar, that he's only a nose sachar and not more than that. So we'll put that aside for now. On a simple level, we're saying at least on the way back, you're only a shomer sachar. Now, the proof, though, thinking about it, is taking the second approach, why is the Gemara bringing this? Again, we just said that a shoel who borrows an object, after the borrowing period is over, they are no longer a shoel, but they are a shomer sachar. Now we're bringing this as a support to that. Just like a shoel after the borrowing period is no longer a shoel, but is still a shomer sachar, we are saying a lokeach, someone who buys an object with the intention of giving that as a present, on the way there they are chayef for onsen, on the way back they are not. So how would it be a proof on a simple level? What's the easiest explanation as to why this matches up with our first case of the shoel? Any thoughts? How are we proving that a shoel becomes a shomer sachar through this case of the prospective buyer? Well, on a simple level, the best way to explain it would be to say, just like the shoel became... was a shoel, but became a shomer sachar. The lokeach is essentially a shoel. What you're doing when you are handling the object and deciding whether or not to buy it is you are borrowing it in a sense. That's why you're liable for onsen. On the way back, even though you are no longer a shoel because you have made the decision, I don't want to buy this object anymore, I'm happy to return it to you. Nevertheless, you are still an Osei Sachar, and then it really matches up perfectly. That is exactly what we wanted to argue in the first place. So that's our first case. We have this case of the person buying an object to give it to their in-laws, and then they stipulate, I'll pay for it on the way. I'll pay for it if they want it. If they don't want it, I'll pay you a certain amount. And we say that on the way there, they're Chayav and Onsen. On the way back, they're not. Quickly, let's read the last case of the Gemara here, which we're not going to focus on as much, but it's still slightly relevant. So we have the following case in this fourth little dash over here. Third little dash, excuse me. Hogar nezav mecham lechavri. Someone bought wine for their friend. Amrle kamamtina ledukte ploni. He said, I'm going to bring, it might be a donkey actually. Chamra is always a donkey or wine. Let's actually assume it's a donkey. So a person bought a donkey for their friend, and they said, I'm going to bring it to such and such a place. If I sell it there, then great. If not, I'll return it to you. Meaning I'm buying it to sell it. I'm a middleman. I'm a merchant. I'm not interested in the donkey. I'm only interested in selling it. And I say, either I'll buy it or I won't. So what happened? Also below is Domino. He got to that marketplace. Didn't buy it. Bad day on the market. Uvahadi tugka asa isnis. And on his way back, fortunately, something bad happens to it. It was an ones, and the animal is dead. So asa the commander of Nachman chayve. They went in front of Rav Nachman. They made him liable. He said, yeah, you got to pay for the donkey. Esve ravel Rav Nachman nan subalicha chayve chazara pator. What, didn't we say on the way back, once you make the decision that I'm not buying the object, don't we say you're not chayv and own sin? No, because the answer is, Rava, Sar Nachman, Amarle, chazira dahai halicha hi, even on his way back, it's akin to his trip to the marketplace. My time, why svarahu? It's an illogical explanation. On his way back, if he found someone to buy it, wouldn't he buy it? Wouldn't he sell it, rather? Since he's always interested in selling it, he hasn't made a definitive decision, no, I don't want this, therefore, he is still liable. So just to summarize very succinctly, we had our first case, which is relevant for us, the lokeach, manas l'shagun l'mischamiv, I buy something to send it as a present to someone else. And what we know so far is that you are liable on the way there. You are not liable for onsen on the way back. Keeping in mind the context of the comparison to a shoel who becomes a shomer sachar. Okay, and that is source number one. Is that clear? Any questions on that before we move on? Okay, assume a shtika keoda. Okay, so source number two. Now we go to a gemara in Bava Basra. Now, the context here is also very important, as we all know. The context here is the parak of Hamocher es Hasfina. And Hamocher es Hasfina deals with, anybody know? Aside from a few very strange agados that are quite interesting, but aside from that, Hamocher es Hasfina deals with the laws of kinyonim, of acquisitions, of how you can acquire an object in halacha, hagba, meshicha, right? You sell, Mocher es Hasfina means you're selling a boat. So, like, that's what we're doing. We're talking about sales. So here's the Gemara. Gufa, Amar Shmuel, Hanotel Klima Uman Levakro Venenas Biyado Chayev. Someone who goes, sounds like a very similar case, but a slight difference. You go to the craftsman again, and you take an object to investigate it. Right? You're investigating the object to decide whether or not you want to purchase it. And there's an onus, something bad happens. I don't know, you turn around and someone hits you with their shopping cart, and then the milk spills all over the aisle. Clean up an aisle too, but do I have to pay for the milk? Says Shmuel, first glance, yes you do. Yes you do. Nenas biyado chayiv, doesn't matter if it's not your fault. That's what happens when you go to the store. Sounds like you break it, you bought it. But he qualifies. Vahani milihu dikitsi dame. This idea that you're chayiv, whenever you're a prospective buyer and you're investigating the object to decide whether or not you will buy it, that's only if it has a set price. Keep in mind, the context back in the times of the Gemara was often not, it's not like they had some sort of, supermarket and shelves where everything was a set price for everybody. You would go to the Uma and you're going to buy something from them. They custom made it. They made it personally with their own hands. And you decide about what the price is often. It's not like they have a set price. So Gemara here is saying, we only say, and keep this in mind, we only say that you are chayav when you are investigating an object to decide whether or not you want to buy it if there is a set price for that object. Okay. Now, at this point, we have a pretty definitive statement. Now, just to note, the Gemara does not stop here. It actually continues with this kitze dameha idea. And this idea seems to not only have an impact on our case, as we'll see, it also generally is the case that there, when an object has a set price, and you do a kinyon on that object, then you do not need to pay the person or even come to a verbal agreement with that person to acquire it. Since there is a set price, we know how much it costs, you pick it up, which is a maisa kinyan, it is then yours. And to prove this point, the Gemara says as follows. So, ha'u gavra de'alavei tivcha. So now we have the case, the person goes to the butcher shop. Agba Atma de Bisra. So he sees a nice piece of flesh for Shabbos, and he lifts the leg. Oh, great, this looks like a good leg. I'm going to buy the leg. Bahadi de Ka'alva Asa Persha Mirmamine. So then, you know, worst luck ever. He's in the middle of shopping for Shabbos. Someone runs by and takes the leg while he's looking at it. Steals the leg, runs off. Also the Kamdar of Yemar. So they went in front of Yemar Chive. Lishlume Dome. You made him pay for it. You got to pay. You were looking at the object. You wanted to see if you were going to buy it. You got to pay for it. Vahani Milihu Dikiti Dameha. And that is only if there is a set price for it. If there's a set price, you're liable. And now we go to another case, which isn't necessarily a case of investigating an object to buy it. It seems like it's a normal case of a sale. And a very unfortunate one at that. So, Hahu Gavra de Icy Kari la Pamara. Now we have a person who is selling gourds on the beach. Nothing beats a good gourd on the beach. That's what this guy's job is. He's selling lots of gourds. Asu Kule Alma, everybody came, Shakul Kra Kra, and they took one. Everybody sort of bombards his little stand. You know, he's sitting there with a little bowl to collect the funds. Everyone runs to the stand, picks up a gourd, and they continue. So what's he going to do? He's now overwhelmed with customers. He didn't get them down in his little ledger, and he doesn't know what to do about it. He's losing all his merchandise. So he gets very frustrated. So Amalhu Harehi Mukdash LeShemayim. Okay, they're all hectish. So much for that. You can't eat the gourds because he's frustrated. So also the Kamei D'Rakan Amalhu Ain Adam Makdish Davar Sheino Shelo. Rakan says nope. Tough luck. Doesn't work. They can still eat the gourds because Ain Adam Makdish Davar Sheino Shelo. A person cannot sanctify an object which is not theirs. It is not the store owner's merchandise anymore. Since they took it, it's theirs. They what? There's no, so it's not because they paid him. And now it seems like they're going to pay him, right? This is a clear. So we show him to contrast this with Gezel. This is not a case of Gezel. If it was indeed Gezel, then you everyone's frozen. Do you hear me? Uh oh. Okay, good. Thanks. Okay. So this is not a... It doesn't seem like this is a case where you're stealing it. Thanks for the clarification, Azar. Because if it was stealing it, then he certainly would say that... he probably wouldn't call it Davar Sheino Shelo. And from the continuation of the Gemara, it also becomes clear. And the way Shulchan Aruch takes it in source number 3, says the Gemara, Vahani Milihu Dekiti Demayu. This is assuming that there's a set price. He's selling the gourds for $1 a pop. Ava lo kiti demayu, if there is no set price, b'reshus marayu kaimi v'shaper akdish. So then, it is still in the jurisdiction of their owner, and then he can sanctify them. If there was no set price, then it would work, and then he would make them hektish, then they would no longer be able to enjoy their gourds on the beach. So here, summarizing this Gemara, what do we have here? We have this idea of browsing in a store, investigating an object which is for sale. The halacha considers you liable for onsin, given that there is a set price for the object. Now, before we go on to our third Gemara, just to point out, as I mentioned, that this is not taken only in the context of prospective buyers. This Gemara is a very important one, generally for the laws of sales, that we don't, as I said, we don't require a verbal commitment from the seller in order to complete the sale. As when you put that sign on your store that the product costs $1 each, the second he takes the object, it's his if he wants it. That is considered consent, and that is considered enough of an agreement by the seller to sell it. So, and this is it codified in source number 3 in the Shulchan Aruch. Ein arishus kone velo akli velo mashiach velo abala ein kein pasach tchila amida bakach bakach ava kozman shelo pasach ein lo shem sad sheyiknebo. So generally we say, rishus, a person's jurisdiction, their property is not kone from kinyan chatzer, their vessel is not kone, Mishicha, pulling the object, is not koneh, and picking it up is not koneh, unless you stipulated how much the item costs per measurement. You have to set a price. But if you do not set a price, kozman shlo pasak, then there is no kinyan. However, the kozman shlo pasak lo samcha dat shnehem. Because as long as you didn't set a price for the object, both parties, the seller and the buyer, haven't really concluded they want to go through with the sale. Because how can you conclude that, okay, I'll buy it, if you don't know how much you're going to pay? Unless your parents are paying for you. It might be easier to make that decision otherwise. But otherwise, okay, I'll buy it. You don't even know how much it costs. But, ava lo kiti damayu b'rishus mara... sorry, excuse me. Source number three. Shema lo yaskimu alaskum. Maybe they won't agree to the exact measurement and how much it will cost. However, if the item is something which has a set price, even if there wasn't a verbal agreement between the buyer and seller as to the price, then you are kone. Once you pick up the object, then you are kone. You do not need to confirm a price with the seller. So, the context of this Gemara is that of sales. It is not simply a question of prospective buyer, but in terms of lokeach amanas levakro, again, we are saying that you are chayav in onsen. Once you, even though you haven't concluded you are going to buy the object, even in the investigation stage, you are still chayav. Now, can anyone point out, taking these two Gemaras, in source number one, we had the Gemara where you're buying something and giving it as a present to your in-laws. In source number two, we have a prospective buyer. Should these cases be the same or different? And if they are different, then why would they be different? And do you notice anything different about the formulation of the halacha? Right? So think about what the first source was. What did we say? You are chayav on the way there. You are exempt on the way back.
Okay. Someone else talking? Sorry. I thought I heard someone else talking. Maybe in the first source, there's actually a stipulation to begin with between the buyer and the seller. I mean, he's telling him, I will return this to you if this and this happens.
Right. You make a tie. You say, I'm not gonna sell it. Right. It's an explicit tanai. Sounds like it's amanas shagun ves chamiv. It's a conditional purchase. Whereas if you're buying it, you know, you just go to the store, you pick up an item off of the shelf. There's no agreement or condition stipulated. It's simply, you know, it's understood that when you pick an item up, you're seeing whether or not you want to buy it. Should that difference, Tatana, what do you think, or anyone else also, should that make you more or less liable? Since you made a stipulation with the owner. Yes, Shimon. Shimei.
Society functions, I guess.
100%. That, and then I will see that. That's 100%. There is an operative understanding. I think that Tana's pointing out, maybe the explicit Tanai of it, though, does make a distinction. I think another thing, which is relevant to this point, is there's no end point necessarily. There's no point where we can say the status changes. In the case in source number one, there's a Chazira. There's a case where you're going back. You are now returning it to the owner. Here, where would that point be? If you think, I don't want it, is it when you put, maybe it has to be when you put it back. It's hard to draw a line. And Shmuel never tells us when you stop being whatever you are, that such that you are chayav in onsen. He just says you're chayav in onsen. So that is something to keep in mind. We have these two Gemaras. Another important distinction, though, which is important to mention, is that the second source stipulates that you're only liable for onsen if it's dam of kitzuvim, kiti dameha, if there's a set price. Looking back at source number one, there is no such condition that it needs to be dam of kitzuvim. It simply says you are liable. And then we go to source. So should these cases be compared? Should they not be compared? It's not 100% clear. We get to source number four.
Good question.
Yes.
Is that, Hira, if you go to the store, would there be a difference whether you took it off the shelf or the storekeeper said, oh, here, take a look at it?
If the storekeeper said, take a look at it, should that make a difference? So that sort of, I think, relates to Jeffrey's question at the beginning of Shear, in terms of, is he sort of accepting any more responsibility by offering it to you? But to Shimmy's point, I think we're assuming every time you pick, when a seller puts an object on the shelf and says it costs a dollar each, he's essentially doing that. He's essentially saying, here, why don't you buy it? Right? That's why it's on the shelf. That's why it's a kinyan. We assume he's agreed to sell it to you. If he didn't, then he shouldn't be selling it, and there shouldn't be a set price. So that's an interesting question. The only reason I think it might be different is that maybe once you're saying, here, take a look at it, you're sort of saying, you know, and you're sort of putting yourself as part of the as one of the responsible parties. But I could also hear the argument that it wouldn't make that much of a difference because, again, every time you put an object on the shelf, you're saying, here, why don't you buy it? But maybe. Okay.
This might be better resolved after the Gemara and Nedarim.
Okay. Why? Because you have to return. Why? Okay, let's read the Gemara and Nedarim, and then Ezra will tell us why. We can now answer Tommy's question. So now you have source number four. Now source number four is in Nedarim. A totally different context. Here the context is Nedarim, which means taking a vow to make some sort of benefit forbidden to you or forbidden to others. That is the context of Nedarim. And here, source number four brings all of these sources together. So the Mishnah here says, a person says, She'eni nenem Yisrael, I'm not going to have any benefit from a Jewish person. The person says, I had enough of these Jews, no more hana from anybody, any Jew. There, the Mishnah says, Lokeach biyoter u'mocher bepachot. If they want to buy anything, since they were so wise and decided they can't get any benefit, they have to rip themselves off. They have to pay more than the object is worth. Paying equal value, that is considered benefit. Umocher bepacho, and again, if they sell an object, they have to rip themselves off, they have to sell the object for less than the appropriate value. She Yisrael mehenenli, and what if you say, no Jew can benefit from me? Lokeach bepachos umocher biyoter. Then the opposite, you have to pay less, because paying equal would mean they're benefiting from you. So you have to pay, you have to get the better end of the deal, and you have to sell it at an overpriced rate. They ain't showing low. And we say, okay, look, like, your fault. If no one wants to buy from you or sell from you, maybe you shouldn't have made this neder. Okay. Now the Gemara quotes Shmuel. Take a look at the Gemara in the third line, source 4. Amr Shmuel, lokea klimina uma levakro, venenas biyodo chayav, amwa kasavar hanas lokeachi. So Shmuel says, a person buys a vessel from a craftsman in order, sorry, not buys, takes a vessel from a craftsman in order to investigate it, and there is an accident, an ones, in his possession. Chayav, he is liable. Now the Gemara makes a very important and slightly troubling statement. Alma kasavar hanas lokeach hi. From the fact that Shmuel says that a person who is investigating an object to determine whether they want to buy it is chayav an onsin, it must be that on an in terms of economics, it is more beneficial for someone to be a buyer than a seller. Right? Objectively speaking, assuming, you know, no one's ripping the other party off, it's a fair price, the Gemara is saying, Shmuel must be assuming it's better to buy than to sell. Otherwise, why would he say the lokeach is chayav for onsen? Now, at first glance, it's not 100% clear why that should be. Meaning, if we're saying, let's say that it's in my possession, you know, I picked up the object, I'm thinking of buying it, then even if the mocher also gets equal benefit, it's equally beneficial to sell and buy, why should that make a difference? I should still be liable. Who cares about hanas lokeya? So that's something we'll have to return to. Now the Gemara is bothered by this. Tanan, she'eni nana miyisrael, mocher b'pacho, sava shava b'shava lo. What about our Mishnah? Our Mishnah clearly assumes that what? That no, in order to, if you take a vow that you're not going to benefit from Israel or vice versa, you have to rip yourself off or rip them off. You have to make it overpriced or pay an overpriced rate. If it's really true that the lokeach always gets the better end of the deal, that shouldn't be so. Right? First of all, it should be forbidden for a person who says they won't benefit from Yisrael. It should not be a problem to sell at the equal rate, because if I'm selling an object for the right price, I'm not benefiting. That's what Shmuel says. So, says the Gemara, clearly it's not hanas lokeach. We clearly assume they're on equal footing, or else you wouldn't have to rip yourself off. So now the Gemara is all back and forth. The conclusion is, for our purposes, Ella mas nisim bizvina mitza udishmuel bizvina harifa. Shmuel, when Shmuel says that halokeach mina uman amanas levakro, that you're checking out the object to decide whether you want to buy it, it's only in a case of zvina harifa. It's a really good, let's say for now, it's hot merchandise. You know, this is a great kli. This is the best pot you've ever seen in your life. Everybody wants this type of pot. Or I was thinking last night, it's those Air Jordans. Everybody wants the chance to try on the Air Jordans. Fill in the appropriate, object of your choice. The point is, this is something that everybody wants to buy. That's when Shmuel says that you're liable for onsen. The Mishnah, which says that... What do you say?
Not likely to be a case where the guy's begging you to try it on.
Right. Exactly.
Right. That's what I think it gets back to the previous point. We're talking about...
Okay.
The guy's begging you a favor by letting you see it, as opposed to the guy telling you, please, please, I want you to take it. I want you to look at it. I think that's how this could have enough to mean in terms of what your status will be.
Okay, great. Point well taken. We'll have to see whether... So, Ezra mentions here, very astutely, that Zvina, the Gemara here is saying, Shmuel, it sounds like Shmuel's halacha is in a case of Zvina Harifa. Shmuel's halacha is only in a case of a very good, popular merchandise that people want to buy. We'll see different definitions of Zvina Harifa. Now, thinking about this for a second, what is interesting about this Gemara in terms of its comparison to the other Gemaras? So if you remember, in our source number one, the Gemara did not mention anything about any sort of stipulation. It simply says you buy an object to potentially gift it to your in-laws, you're liable. In source number two, we mentioned that what type of object does it need to be? It needs to be an object whose price is set. In source number three, we have Shmuel, again, same brisa as in source number two, source number four, rather. However, now we have a different idea. We have Zvina Harifa. You're only liable if it's really great merchandise. It's popular merchandise. It's a sharp buy. So, do these Gemaras go together? Do they not go together? Is it a contradiction? Is it different cases? Now, to make it even more complicated, now the Gemara brings back source number one to say, and I'll prove to you that Shmuel's right. Tanei kavasa de Shmuel. There's a brisa which agrees with Shmuel. And this should be familiar. Okay, akelim min atagar l'shagel v'es chamiv. If a person buys objects from a merchant who send them to his in-laws, v'amr lo mekabla me'osom yimeni aneos nechad meyim, v'im lav aneos nechad fios anas shebehen, nensu ba'alichachai b'chazar patar v'nesho enosei sachar. Now the Gemara quotes source number one. And you look at this and you're like, great, but the cases are different and the law seems to be different. And how do you put all these things together? In what way is this actually a support? So we have three different Gemaras, all relating to prospective buyers. They all seem to be have different conditions that you need in order for this rule to be true. And yet, the Gemara Nedarim here puts all three of them together. So the question is, how do we deal with all three of these Gemaras? And the other question, which Jeffrey alluded to at the beginning of this year, is, well, why are any of them true? Why is it that you are liable? Simply because you want to buy the object. You haven't bought it yet. You're just thinking about it. And again, you know, we're assuming you weren't negligent. You didn't do anything irresponsible. It was out of your control. Something happened to you, which resulted in the loss of this object. And yet you're liable. Why is that? So here, in source number 5, Tosfos does a good job. That's a silly statement to make, but I really appreciated Tosfos' treatment of the comparison of these Gemaros. Tosfos points out that contrasting the different sources, you get a very different impression given the different contexts of each source. Says Tosfos, since we've seen the sources, we'll go through it a bit quickly. L'chor nire, source number 5, d'chaya mishom d'chasha k'shoel. It would seem like you are chaya because you are a borrower. What are you essentially doing when you go into the store? You haven't paid for it yet. You haven't given him anything. You're just looking at his object. You're borrowing it. And that's why you're chayav. Shoel is chayav because it is chayav in all things, in onsen as well. A shoel doesn't pay for anything, yet he gets to use the object for free of charge. And that's why you're liable in this case. And he gives a proof from the context of some of the Gemaras. The Beso Perg Dal de Nedarim, Mefarish Time de Shmuel de Kasavar Hanas Lokeachi. Right? The Gemara Nedarim says Shmuel must think that a buyer is in the driver's seat. The buyer is the one who's benefiting from the sale. Why is that relevant? Says Tosfos, Hainu Kishoel Shakol Hahanah Shelo. The rule of Shoel, although that's a bit of an overstatement, if you look in the Gemara Bava Metzia, Shoel doesn't necessarily get all the Hana, but Shoel, the reason a Shoel is Chayav and Onsen, says the Gemara Bava Metzia, is because they get everything. They're taking, they get to use the object, they have nothing in return. They don't give anything to the Mashiel. Says Tosfos, that's why the Gemara says it must be according to Shmuel that a buyer is Kol Hana Shelo. It's their benefit. I'm benefiting. I get to buy. It's better to be a buyer. And that's why I'm Chayav and Onsen, just like a Shoel.
In our first Gemara,
in the case of the borrower who was a borrower and then after the borrowing period ends is still a Shomer Sachar. That was a perfect comparison. You were a Shoel, you became a Shomer Sachar, so too in the prospective buyer case, you were a Shoel, you become a Shomer Sachar. These Gemara says Tosos indicate that that is why a Lokeach is Chayav, not the prospective Lokeach, rather. The person who may buy the object is all liable, they're like a borrower, and a borrower is Chayav and Onsen. However, says Tosfos, we have Rashi, which we'll see in just a few minutes. Bezrat Hashem, you Rashi, Perush Bebava Mitzia, the Nensu Balicha Chayav Mishum Dechashav Kilokeach. Rashi says you are Chayav not because you are a borrower, but rather because you are a buyer. You have bought at this point. We view it as if you have bought the object. It's yours. It's your object. So of course you're Chayav and Onsen. Because it's your responsibility. It's as if you break it, you bought it. Because by looking at it, that already makes you a lokeach, says Tosfos, says Rashi rather. He says to me, Komoko Maisimine Shapra Hidal Memar. Still a good raya from Memar Kihichi, Techashle Brysa Nose Sachar Bechazara Afa Pisha Batsal Mekach, Mishim Darhasha Hi Kayak Lokeach. Says Tosfos, okay, the context is not an exact proof, it's not an exact comparison between Shoel and Lokeach, but it's similar. The point is there's a status change. At one point, you had a more, a greater connection to the object. You had more liability. But even after that period ends, you're still a Shomer Sachar because you benefited. So it's not an exact comparison, but I can live, says Tosos, even according to Rashi, with Bava Metzia Pei Aleph, Amud Aleph. And he also brings a raya from Bava Basra. Again, what's the context of Bava Basra? Lokeach, sales. That's what the Gemara is talking about. And he gives another proof. What does Rakana say? The person who is at the stand selling gourds at the beach for $1 a gourd, what does Rakana say? You can't be mocked as something that's not yours. Once they took it from your stand with the intention of buying it, it's no longer yours. If I borrow an object, is it mine? Certainly not. The fact that the Gemara says it's eno shalo, it's no longer the owner's, indicates that the prospective buyer is a buyer. It is theirs at this point. And therefore, the Makdish doesn't have the authority to actually make it Hekdish because they don't own the merchandise anymore. If he's a Shoel, why can't he be Makdish? Masha Hishel be Adachirim, Kemosha Masr, Yochel Hekdish. Could the Amar Paraka Omer Mishkali Alai says Tosos, you can makdish something that someone is borrowing from you, just like in Arachin, it says that you can be makdish something someone is renting for you. This is a bit of a longer discussion about when you can be makdish something not in your actual physical possession, but Tosos is assuming for now, from a Shoel perspective, it doesn't make much sense. However, Rashba says, not so fast. No, that Gemara, the gourd at the seashore, they're not necessarily, the Gemara never says they were only investigating it. There they actually bought it. There they had no intention of giving it back. They wanted it, they just hadn't paid yet. The Gemara's point there, says the Rashba, Rashmi Shans, is that Dom of Kitsuvim changes the equation in any sale. However, no, the Rish says back, no, because that Gemara is all about investigating and deciding whether or not you want to buy the object. So yeah, Tosos, we see from Tosos, there are different implications from different sugyos. I have a little chart here at the bottom of the page. The thrust of it is, Nidarim certainly sounds like Shoel. You could argue Bava Metzia sounds like Shoel. Bava Basra sounds like Lokeach. They all have different conditions. And the question is, what in the world do we do? What is actually the correct understanding of any of this? And that's why Tosos is going back and forth. So what I'd like to do now, whatever time we have, I'll try to, is to investigate both of these options. And I think what we'll see is that even if some Rishonim are saying Shoel, some are saying Lokeach, it doesn't seem to be an exact comparison. You haven't fully bought it yet on a simple level. You're not really borrowing it completely. You're not like going to use it somewhere in your own possession. You're just checking out to see if you're going to buy it. And I think we have different variations as to how you understand the idea of Shoel or Lokeach in this context. So let's start off talking about Shoel. So just before we get to why you would be a Shoel, or what it means you are a Shoel, why wouldn't you be a Lokeach? Why don't they agree with the Rashi? We're going to see the Rush, the Ron, all say Shoel, Shoel, Shoel. On a conceptual level, why shouldn't you be a buyer in this case? What are you lacking as a buyer?
Possibly wanting to buy it.
Right. So that's the obvious... I think the answer would be that they're saying, look, you haven't made a final decision yet. You're not sure that you want to buy it. Can we really call you a lokeach, that it's yours such that you're liable for onsen? Now, this is a really interesting question. I think you can contrast these two cases, right? In the second case, you're really still in the decision-making process. That's lokeach menas levakro. Whereas in the case of the in-laws, you want to buy it if they want it. It really sounds like lokeach al tanai. Which begs the question, every time you buy something on a certain condition, what is your status until we know whether that condition will be realized or not? If you say, I'm going to buy this, provided that I get a raise next week. Well, if he gives you the object until next week and you break it, well, what is your liability? It's not 100% clear. So that would be, though, as I think Shoal, this idea is saying, you can't be a lokeach. To be a lokeach, you need a certain, it needs to be definitive. You can even compare it, potentially, I thought, to get, which, kinyanim and get, you have these comparisons. You need a certain krisus, you need a certain excision from the owner. It has to be definitive. And it's not definitive. It's up in the air. So you're not a lokeach. However, you are a Shoal. If you look at source number 6, the Rush says exactly what Tosfos points out. This is the Pirush Rush in Adarim. You get a different impression from the Rush elsewhere in Bava Basra. But the Rush in Adarim says, Alma hanas lokeach, velo hanas mocher, demachayvis lo ba'onsin kimo Shoal shakol hanas shalo. You're chayv and onsin, just like a Shoal. You're getting all the benefit. It's hanas lokeach, in that point of the Gemara. And you are a Shoal. Now, worth questioning is what hana exactly are you getting? And this is really a good comparison to a shoel. Again, what is the definition of a shoel? A shoel borrows an object for the purpose of using it. You're not really using it here. So how do you react to that? It seems to me here we have two different impressions in the Rishonim. I think the Rush and the Ron, the Tosfos was written, 6, 7, and 8, are really trying to say, in a sense, that this is, although it's not an exact comparison, we treat you really like you are a Shoal, because ultimately it's Kol Hana'a Shelo. If you look at the Ron says as follows, Amar Shmuel, okay, Aklim Natagar, Venenas Biado, Chayev Anas Okeach, Okminen Hasam Perikasfina, Bidikiti Dameha. The Ron says that he's putting the sugyas all together. He says in Bava Basra, we say it has to be a set price. Hilkach samcha daiti de lokeach shem rotze lelachon harashos biyado v'kevan shekein chay beonzin de memekach kana lokeachi v'lo lemocher v'havle kishmuel. This is probably a typo. We probably say v'havle kishoel. To be like Shmuel would be great, but I don't think. You know, trying to buy an object makes you like Shmuel. So it's like a Shoel. The Mishnah Chol Na Shelo Chay Beonsin. Chol Na Shelo. Sounds seems to me like the Ron is saying is that again, it's also Zvina Harifa. So you get an opportunity to buy a really great object. You get to look at it. You get to put on those sneakers, those Air Jordans, try them on, take them off. Great, it's awesome, and you're not paying anything for that. That's a Shoel. Beautiful. And that's why you're chayav and onsin, because it's kol hana shelo, it's all your benefit. The Tosfos Reid points out an important, I think, a nafkamina from this, which we'll talk about, I think, more next time, distinctions between saying it's a shoel or lokeach. The Tosfos Reid says, am hanas lokeach, perish kol hana shelo, lokeach, shamocher atzivu kishamocher. The mocher is sad that he has to sell it. He has to see that item go. He likes so much having it there on his shelf. So the mocher is sad. The buyer is happy. Meaning, it says the raid, the proof to Shmuel is if both buyer and seller benefit, then you wouldn't be a shoel, you'd be a socher. Because it's mutual benefit. That's a socher. Socher, you pay for the object, you get to use it. The shoel, if a mocher and lokeach benefit, that would be a socher. What's interesting about the Tosfos Reid, he's saying it's a continuum of shmira. You are a shomer on this object while you're in the store. That is what we are saying. What type of shomer depends on, balance between are you benefiting or is the buyer or is the seller benefiting? So that is one perspective of Shoel. However, I think you get a different perspective from Mefarish in the Darim. And to note, I just interestingly, we don't know who Mefarish in Darim really is. This is a big mystery. It's interesting, if you look at the Shita Megubetzes, he quotes someone saying almost the exact same thing as the Ritz. Reish Yud Sadi. Maybe it's the Ritz Geus, I'm not sure. But it's certainly interesting. Yeah, so maybe the Shita Megabetzes thinks the Mefarish is the Ritzkeis, one of the Baalei Hatosos, not sure. But says Mefarish in the Darim, a very troubling statement. To understand it in a context, we're going to take a look at source number 9, just to review for a second. This is the same quote from the Gemara, but again, we said that you are Chayav Behalicha, and Bechazir your Pater, Mibnei Shehu Kenosei Sachar, because you are like a Shomer Sachar. Now the question is, it doesn't really, at first glance, make too much sense. Because a Shomer Sachar is not Chayav in Onsin. So how can we say you're Chayav in Onsin on the way there, and Pater on the way back, because you're a Shomer Sachar? It's not a very good explanation. So some of Farshim, as we'll see, say, well, this Shomer Sachar explains why you're Pater on the way back. However, the Mefarish has a different explanation. At first glance, it's crazy. It seems like it makes no sense at all. But I think it's also getting at the unique nature of Shoel here. So it says the Mefarish in source number 10, Al mahanas lokeach dhano lokeach b'mecho yoter misha mocher. The lokeach gets more out of this. Hilka chayiv degomar umakne nafshi b'hahi hana shemanicho levakro v'havi kenose sachar v'nes chayiv b'onsin. That doesn't make any sense at all. It says Mefarish, the first part is, since you benefit, you get the opportunity to investigate the item and decide whether you want it, you get to try it on, and so on, that you therefore submit to the rule, essentially, if you break it, you bought it. You say, well, I get to use this, I accept responsibility, because it's so great to be able to use this object. It's gamar umakne nafshi. So how is it that, and he says the same in the second line here, which is the case of the in-laws, since he allows him to bring it to his in-laws, gamar umakne nafshi. He quote unquote sells himself, but what it means is he accepts responsibility. And I think the idea is, going back to the Shomer Sachar, we say the idea of Shomer Sachar is reciprocity. You help me out, you pay me for watching your object, I accept responsibility. I think what he's saying here, the Mefarish, I think what he's saying, not a typical Shoel, it's not just Kana Shalom, it might be a bit different, but it's a unique acceptance of responsibility like a Shoel, because you are getting the better end of the deal. You get to use it, you get to check it out, that's good. You get to show it to your in-laws, and therefore you say, okay, so I will accept responsibility. Whereas a shoel generally, it's a natural responsibility, because hey, you're getting the better end of the deal. Here, it's almost an implied, you break it, you bought it. Meaning, hey, I get to check it out, fine. If it breaks, it's on my account. So that is the shoel idea here. We have a few minutes left. I just want to briefly introduce the idea of lokeach and introduce, I think, two different perspectives on this. So, as we noted before, in source number 11, we'll just do it. We'll do it briefly. The Rashi in Bava Metzia says very definitively, "You are a lokeach." Okay. The whole, he says Rashi in source number 11, "Hol v'katas demayan u'mashon shem lekicha harem lekuchin biyado ad shiyado shem lekucha." You picked it up with the intention of potentially buying it. We assume you're going to buy it until we know otherwise. Meaning to Ezra's point that, oh, well, why should you be a lokeach? You're not sure yet. It says, Rashi, no. When you pick up an object and you're thinking about buying it and you're trying to see if you like it or not, assumption is you're going to buy it. You're a lokeach. You have responsibility for it. And if you decide you don't want it, that might be like a tznai saying, okay, I don't want it, and then everything reverts back to the way it was. Until that point, you are a lokeach. That is one perspective you find in the Rishonim. And I think, as we'll see, if that is your perspective, you may require more. A set price might need to really be. You know exactly how much you're going to have to pay for it. It's just the laws of kinyanim, that whenever you have an item with a set price from the seller, you are a lokeach. However, it might be that even if you're not a full-fledged lokeach, but you're sort of like a quasi-lokeach, you're a browser, you're someone who is deciding whether or not to buy the object. We're not going to say you're a full-fledged Lokea, but it might be that you are have a unique status, a quasi-kinyon. You have the kinyon of being able to go to this object, look at it, try it on, and decide whether you want it. That unique ability for a buyer is itself a sort of kinyon, which might be different than a regular Lokea, but still have responsibility. So I guess we'll investigate that idea next time. Just to briefly summarize, we saw three different Gemaras all relating to prospective buyers. They all had different contexts and mentioned different specifications as to when we say you are liable as a prospective buyer. We saw two different perspectives in the Rishonim as to why a prospective buyer is a Shoel or Lokeach. We're arguing that there are different ways to understand both Shoel or Lokeach. So far, we've seen everybody put all this together. Next time, we'll see maybe these different ideas, the different Gemaros, whether you're buying it for your in-laws, or whether you're buying and to sell it, or whether you're buying it for yourself, might actually make a fundamental difference. And maybe you're both a Shoel and a Lokeach, depending on the circumstances. Okay, thank you very much, everybody. Chodesh Tov. Yes. What type of object it is?
Yeah, so for example, in a China store, obviously there's a heightened, you know, you've got to be very careful with a fragile object